Chapter 4, Couple Therapy and Seeking Closure in Therapeutic Encounters. Couple Therapy, a case study from Tavistock Relationship Clinic. Pragma, Mature Love, Concept of Vulnerability and Significance in Couple Therapy. The following writing is based on academic concepts and corresponding understandings on what mature love and couple relationship means. Pragma, as a term, had been employed as a representation to an ideal form in couple relationships. I hesitated slightly, and only slightly, to open a conversation about the concept of vulnerability, and it was only when coupled with understandings gained during my practice at the Tavistock Relationships Clinic, my work in couple therapy revived realizations of what pragma means and revisited couple cases diaries as a cumulus that offered me a sense of, yes, perhaps in this context, pragma and vulnerability can be developed together to a conceptual stance. Beck, Emery, and Greenberg, 2005, refer to a passage of time linked to a conceptual progression on an understanding as to how vulnerability remains at the core of anxiety disorders. 20 years later, after the first edition was published on the relationship between anxiety and vulnerability, Beck, Emery, and Greenberg, 2005, argue how such a relationship is still very much present and discussed from a cognitive theoretical perspective of anxiety disorders. Beck, Emery, and Greenberg, 2005. In the context of this chapter, the concept of maturity in a relationship, hence pragma, is paired with an existing client couple's anxiety, couple's vulnerability, to better understand factors involved in the development of a mature love. The analysis was made possible through clinical observations, explorations, and reports in couple therapy sessions some years ago at the Tavistock Relationships, London, where approaching retirement was transitional stage targeted for intervention. What is pragma? Pragma, as a mature love, has been described by the Greeks as a type of love that is developed between romantic couples, where a main characteristic of a relationship is that of giving to each other. It must be distinguished from various other types of love, that is, self-love, selfless love, love developed between people that have a shared common goal, etc. There are few considerations when assessing pragma as love developed over time between couples. One such consideration is a determination as to when a couple's love can be seen as mature love. Maturity would suggest a relative long period of time, and what can then be formulated as a first question is whether length of time or period of time is indeed a determining factor in the definition of pragma. Is it possible that some other factors besides the length of time are more essential to assess and attribute to a relationship that is then classified mature love or pragma? The suggestion of this article is that such factors do exist, and perhaps are primary to an assertion on length of time. Moreover, a strong consideration could be given to two specific aspects of such factors or components of pragma relationships. A. A couple's negotiation of all components of a pragma relationship. B. The timing of that negotiation being completed with all aspects present and agreed upon. One possible argument is that the length of a relationship can only confer a greater opportunity for all elements of pragma relationship to be identified, recognized, and incorporated into that specific relationship. Some potential factors are 1. trust. 2, respect. 3, commitment. 4, supportive of each other and always acting on each other's best interest, including domestic stability and financial security. 5, resilience. Overcoming difficulties and negotiating relationships' best interests together. 6. Tolerance. Agreeing to work together through differences and find resolve to such differences, if any. 7. Romantic love. Asserted through mutuality and reciprocity. Bounded by the couple's agreed meanings. 8. An equal contribution and responsibility for maintaining a harmonious, healthy, connected, and communicative environment for any dependence that the couple may have, everyone's well-being, healthy development of the couple's relationship, and all relationships derived from the couple's status quo. Above are only a few of the factors that can be identified in a romantic relationship that can be termed as pragma. It is without a doubt that the length of a couple's relationship is highly significant. However, when employing the term mature love, one needs to be rather cautious in what that then may suggest. The first question to ponder on is whether a couple that had been in a relationship for a 12-month period and has successfully negotiated, agreed and acted on all above factors mentioned, could be termed as mature love or pragma couple relationship. Second question to explore is whether a couple that has been together for 20 years with no dependents and during a period of transition, couple's relationship becomes vulnerable and challenged by each partner's different views on such a transition. Would then, in such circumstances, the couple's relationship still be defined as mature love and or pragma? What if a different couple with the same period of length of relationship and circumstances faces a similar transition, and it is realized that it poses no challenges as the couple is already negotiated and has successfully agreed on all aspects of such transition? My proposed questions are offered for reflection and are meant to highlight complexities of a couple relationship and more. So consider potential impact on the couple client's resilience when a specific life event or psychological transition takes place. A couple's relationship with its components forms the central element on a definition of mature pragma love. And it would be only fair to note that factors 1 to 8, achieved on a continuum, would give an ideal form of pragma couple relationship. Such an ideal, in our opinion, not only that is hard to achieve, but quite impossible to always exist in realities of our lives. Factors 1 to 8 represent the negotiation itself that can take place in many stages and at differing times. It is asserted by this paper that that negotiation and the success of that negotiation of factors 1 to 8 represents pragma love, and yes, it needs indeed a relatively long period of time. But that is not to say that it needs a minimum of a decade. It is our argument that it can be achieved in a 12-month period, too. Perhaps one other factor to account for is that a couple themselves can determine such a period, considering at minimum of one life event and or psychological transition that the couple have negotiated and successfully completed together, that is, moving in together. Life events and or transitions should be decided by the couple, and examples are limitless as to what can be considered a life event and or transition within a couple relationship with significant psychological determination. pragma and vulnerability. Where is the fit? In order to illustrate such a process and the complexities of such analytic encounter, I'm going to present work with a couple client and aiming to extend understandings around resilience and couples' vulnerability as a response to a psychological transition. Case presented, couple client, was assessing a decision about early retirement. Strand and Ran have been together for 17 years. Strand is in early 40s and Ran in late 40s. They are both British, sharing a home, and had lived in the UK for at least the duration of their relationship. Ran is retired from work, and Strand is currently assessed for an early retirement on medical grounds. The couple have no children, and that is being felt as a great loss to their relationship and family life. The couple indicated that, to some extent, the couple's nurturing need was attended to by their involvement in the care of close family members' young children. In thinking about couple processes and the relationship as being crucial factors for the therapist, I have decided on an orientated approach, implementing a new model from Tavistock Relationships developed for couple client therapy and decisions on early retirement. Initial session was offered as a deciding session in thinking with the couple about the relationship, allowing for a couple dynamic to develop in the therapeutic room and presenting a third as a relationship in the room. The clinical supervision and clinical discussions with other peer clinicians at the Tavistock Relationship Clinic were important aspects in gaining a better understanding of the theoretical framework employed and how to proceed with a relatively novel intervention. Before first session, the couple and I met in the waiting room area, and as we all entered the consulting room, both partners were still preoccupied with some of the questions on the pre-session form provided by the clinic's reception. Ran asked Strand what marital status had provided as an answer on the clinic's form. It seemed that in completing the questionnaires, Ran had an immediate response, prompting a reflection on whether the couple is presenting as agreeing on a marital status of their relationship. It seemed that relationship status was proposed as a beginning point of discussion for the relationship in the room. I addressed that in asking Ran and Strand what it meant to feel unclear or uncertain about their relationship status. Such observation then had to address questions around how the partner's needs are responded to by each individual couple partner. In psychotherapeutic terms, we refer to such needs as a couple fit, a way of describing how two partners in a couple respond and relate to each other. There is no need to continue illustrating such example beyond this point, because what was revealed in this case, there was a clear vulnerability that the couple was exposed to from both internal and external factors of difference. A. Internally, such differences were presented when the couple's needs emerged as disagreements about the couple's relationship status, and B, externally, with such differences being summed up by the pre-assessment form, when the couple had to agree on their relationship status on each individual declaration form. What such differences conveyed was the couple seeking a resolve to their relationship status and an agreement in the therapy room. However, the couple's lack of agreement was a clear vulnerability manifested in anxiety around the couple's relationship status. In seeking to overcome such differences, the couple showed resilience, ability to act in each other's best interests, and for the best interest of their couple relationship. It was later revealed during therapy sessions that one partner had proposed marriage to the other partner for the duration of their relationship, with such a negotiation yet to find resolve. Lack of agreement and or resolution on marriage proposal negotiation represented a crucial point of analysis for our couple client, and it was termed as vulnerable and a wounded aspect of couple client that perhaps was not acknowledged as a present source of anxiety and difference between the two partners until asserted in the therapy room. Determining factor of pragma love and couple therapy. What matters most? In above illustrated case, one main determining factor of couples' vulnerability was represented by an unresolved or incomplete marriage proposal. Such aspect was then recognized by the couple client as a source of anxiety, and then addressed and resolved in the therapy room. It was also clear that transitional period of retirement presented an obstacle of differences that were in fact traced back to its source of anxiety around the couple relationship status. The couple client's ability to identify and negotiate aspects of their relationship and positively resolve differences are significant aspects of what is termed mature love and pragma relationships. A question remains on whether what confers such a term to a relationship stays with the length of a relationship or the couple client's resilience and ability to negotiate over their differences when couples' vulnerability is revealed and psychological transitions are encountered. The argument of this chapter is that a real pragma love relationship depends on a successful negotiation of factors 1 to 8, and yes, time is of the essence, however many months, rather than many years, suffice. References, Beck A., Emery G., and Greenberg R., 2005, Anxiety Disorders and Phobias, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Basic Books. The Color of Autumn and the Other Side of Resolve. Seeking closure in therapy. A. A therapist attending a social party event is having a casual conversation, small talk, with some person nearby. The person asks the therapist, "So, what do you do?" The therapist is slightly tentative and responds, "I am working in healthcare. I am a psychotherapist." The person looks somehow interested and then replies, "Ah, yes, it must be a very demanding job. I am working in construction. I am an engineer." The therapist responds, "Construction? I wonder what made you decide on construction as a career path. Could you tell me a little more about it?" Or the therapist responds too, "That must be an interesting job. How long have you been working in construction?" B. A client attends therapy for an initial session, an assessment session, and asks the therapist if the therapist is aware of terms trolling and ghosting. The clinician responds by asking several questions about such experiences and guiding the client to find deeper meanings to such situations and how such situations are affecting the client. When the client asked the specialist if she or he understands meaning of specific words, that is, ghosting, the therapist started making psychological links why such questions are asked. Is such a question representative of a client's cognitive motivation, emotional, process thinking, thoughts for attending therapy, and an aspect of relatedness that needs confirmation or clarification? The psychotherapist is assessing levels of his, her, clients' ways of relating in therapy, and type of motivation for attending therapy. The clinician is completely empathically attuned to client's narrative and intervenes, guiding his/her patient with specific questions. Most times, reiterating or paraphrasing what client is telling her, him, they, employing active listening and a genuine level of interest that can better assist the client. A psychotherapist's understanding of ghosting has various degrees of analysis on psychological knowledge-based constructs that are then applied and assessed under what is known as Need for Cognitive Closure, NCCF, investigated by Kruglansky, 1989. Interpersonal relations, types of attachment, rejection, abandonment issues, who can shatter one's sense of self and shift perception on one's sense of self or various aspects of clients' self-esteem, trauma therapy, individual differences, abnormal psychology, gestalt psychology, psychoanalytic understandings of group dynamics, social psychological constructs, and developmental psychology, to name but a few. The specialist is making no such preliminary distinct determinations at the time of assessment, but it is all there. All that theoretical knowledge is present, and in that moment, the expert is considering A. Why is the client asking the question? B. Why the client asks at that time? C. What is the client's motivation to attend therapy and why now, at that point in time? D. What are the client's wishes for therapy and what they perceive as wants from the therapeutic process? E. Can the client identify his problems or perceived difficulties? F. Can the client recognize his felt difficulties? G. How emotionally distressed is the client? And so on. Such preliminary analysis forms part of an initial assessment and ways of working in therapy, but it is also part of therapists' method of assessing clients' need for cognitive closure. If the client is asking specific questions during the therapeutic process, a whole new analysis is pertinent to the case, with all clients' questions being integrated into the client's work, enabling a better understanding of the case. An accepted and basic definition of closure refers to a desire to conclude on a matter, find resolve, and such an understanding can extend to both practical issues and psychological terrains. From above examples, should be no doubt that seeking closure in therapy is about seeking a different side to resolve, a need for closure, and a personal account difficult to formulate in universal terms. A client's identified difficulties are reviewed as, and when the client is proposing, new specifics to their case, that is, ghosting, trolling, etc. The therapeutic relationship is relevant at all points in time, specifically when your therapist practices from a school of thought or therapeutic modality that accounts for therapeutic relationship as being of consequence to the therapeutic process. Endings and closure in brief therapeutic work. For a psychotherapist trained in brief therapeutic work, frequency and duration of therapeutic work are significant aspects of practice. Clients and/or patients work with their therapist with an established focus, and ending of therapy is of importance from first session. A schedule of a therapeutic journey based on reason for attending therapy is an integral part in brief work. Scheduled sessions and the therapeutic process guides clients through endings and or closure. In psychotherapy, ending or termination of a therapeutic course are compatible terms and majorly agreed as synonymous terms. Between long-term analysis and brief therapeutic work, there are clear theoretical and practical distinctions, and exceptionally, on how an ending to the therapeutic course is processed. The following is referring to brief or short-term therapy. Endings in therapeutic process in brief or short-term therapy. When brief psychodynamic therapeutic model is employed, the ending of therapy becomes an integral part of a therapeutic focus. We consider a therapeutic model brief work when A. Number of sessions decided through initial assessment and offered to a prospective client, maximum 24. B. Course of therapy follows a specific therapeutic model developed for brief therapeutic interventions in a modality assessed as being best suited for clients' identified difficulties, challenges, National Institute for Health and Care Excellence, NICE, has clear guidance on how all such clinical aspects. C. Client and therapist are developing aims, focus, for therapeutic work, whereas all sessions are planned and structured around such a formulation. Your therapist is going to formulate your difficulties in a meaningful, emotional construct phrases. D. Therapist and client are working strictly with concerns identified and formulated as a focus, and if further events or challenges are presenting themselves during therapy, such aspects are then considered whether they require further work sessions. E. If the therapist is part of a specialist service and or organization, and the organization is responsible for clinical work, the therapist and the service are responsible for reassessing the client's needs at any given point. All above-mentioned criteria are some of the many considerations as to what constitutes brief work in therapeutic terms. Brief therapeutic work and short-term therapy are interchangeable terms. Endings and cognitive behavioral therapy. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, is a short-term model of therapy known as brief work or short-term therapeutic work. Most CBT protocols are designed interventions structured for a set number of sessions. CBT is an evidence-based, scientific model of therapy with interventions or protocols that in their majority do not exceed a recommended 28 sessions, course of treatment. In CBT, the ending of a therapeutic process is an essential aspect of the therapeutic work, and it is reviewed in collaboration with client-patient toward the end of a therapeutic process. The ending in CBT is considered a blueprint for the client to apply and examine in her, his, future life events. Such a blueprint and review are usually assigned as last, could be more than one, sessions in a therapeutic course. If the therapeutic process is conceptualized in four sessions, creating a blueprint for the work would commence during the third part of the process, continuing to the end of the therapy. Clients wish for seeking closure through a therapeutic process. Seeking closure could be identified as a focus on assessment session or later during therapy. However, sometimes such aspects of the therapeutic process are elaborated on towards the end of therapy, and sometimes prompted by elicited emotions and or thoughts in clients' understanding that therapy is coming to an end. Brief therapeutic work, even when based on psychodynamic models, is highly unlikely to be preoccupied by unconscious interpretations, that is, transference and counter-transference processes. Client patients' wishes of seeking closure through a therapeutic process can take many forms, and if not identified as part of an agreed initial focus of the work, can sometimes manifest in clients, patients' resistance or defenses identified through the therapeutic process. It is highly probable that in seeking a resolve in therapy from experiences, the client may unconsciously recreate or enact similar experiences in the therapeutic work. Interpretations on such acts or events in brief work could then be explored throughout the therapeutic process and shared with the client for the client's better growth and engagement. Ultimately, the client is gaining a wealth of information about self, readjusting, if need be, a sense of self and perceptions of her, his world all around, and client's relationship with others. The concept of closure is powerful and is part of a psychological terrain of practice with unlimited ways of approach and applicability. It has its components of intolerance of uncertainty or resilience towards ambiguity, unclear forms of knowledge, a clear insight in personal responses to events and situations classified as need to know, or assessing levels of anxiety around the unknown, future events, and or understanding something for certain, etc. But more importantly, through gaining such an understanding of self, the client is simultaneously trained, reminded, or equipped with coping strategies and or different ways of perceiving a situation. It is all about understanding behavior in different situations and applying a type of knowledge and response pertinent to that situation. Need for closure or seeking closure as a cognitive motivation, when explored in therapy, can inform self-responses to intolerance of uncertainty, coping strategies, interpersonal relationships with significant others, and group dynamics. It can be applied to understandings on ways and likely degrees of responsiveness to specific situations. In more general terms, such a need for closure or degree of seeking closure from an individual holds information on personal attitudes and attributions to the world, knowledge at large, including perceptions of difference, electoral vote, consumer behavior, values, and engagement in social group responsiveness. It has been asserted that there are clear links between adherence to centralized views, a desire to know and resolve ambiguity, and a sense of belonging. Need for closure is a cognitive motivation as powerful as it can exist, and its links, if not resolved, are as dangerous as ever. References: Kruglansky, A., 1989, Lay Epistemics and Human Knowledge, New York, Plenum Press.